That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this May 18th, Saturday morning, from a beautiful, sunny, green radio ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Thank you for joining us. We know that you're out there from sea to shining sea and overseas. We get the emails and we get the calls. So, well, John, if you'll open us up in prayer, I see the phone line's already ringing, and we'll just move right on with this.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for this time that you've set aside for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says, not forsaking the assembly, which is the habit of some. But Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment, Father, that you would show us what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, to know, and how it ties in with prophecy and with your word, Lord. We know that there are things in the Holy Bible that we will not see until the proper time. Your word says that they are to seal up these things until the last days, until the proper time. And Father, we know we've seen things that have been revealed even just in the last few years that we never saw before, and we know that that's an answer to prayer, that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear, that you've removed the scales from our eyes and unstopped our ears. Father, that you've heard our call to hear ye the Lord, and that here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? We know that you've answered the prayers, that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And we thank you for that, Lord. We know that you've answered the prayers that confusion would be sent into the camp of the enemy, and that they would turn upon one another and destroy one another. Father, we know that they make their plans, and they think that they have us, your people, God's people, conquered. But you sit in the heavens, and you laugh. But Lord, we continue to cry out for grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us, your people, who will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, worthy to escape the things that are coming. Father, give us insight into what it is that we need to do. Father, when it is that we need to take a stand, Lord, we know that there's a time for everything under the sun, and there is a time that we, if we call ourselves Christians, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we are Jedi, Jesus disciples, then we have an obligation to take a stand. But Lord, we don't want to tip our hat too soon. We don't want to show our cards too soon. We want to play that card when the time is right, Lord, when it's appropriate, when you call us to take a stand. Father, we pray for this family reunion that's coming up in Branson, Missouri. We pray for your blessings to be upon it. I pray even now, Lord, that you would send your warring angels ahead of time to go through that facility and to cleanse it of any spirit that is not of you. Lord, send your guardian angels to be about the gates and all around the perimeter, and let none enter that do not belong to you or do not desire to belong to you. Father, our desire is to bring as many as we can to the truth in this 11th and three-quarter hour. Pray for a special anointing to be upon those that are to speak. We pray for your provisions, Father, in physically and spiritually and financially, Lord, to be able to pull this off. And Father, we go forward in faith, knowing that if it is your will, Lord, and we believe that it is, then you will provide as you always have. Pray even now that you send your ministering angels to your people that are planning to attend, to prepare their hearts and minds and souls to come to that place of true humility, true repentance, Lord, where we fall upon our faces and we cry out and we just ask for forgiveness, Lord. Create in us a clean heart, Lord, that we can serve you righteously. And Lord, we lift up this governor in Alabama, a woman, Lord, that's taken a stand against this damnable murder in the land, abortion. And Father, we ask for your protection to be upon her. Put angels above her, below her, left and right, front and behind her. Keep her safe. Guardian angels and warring angels to battle Leviathan, as those that hate you and hate your people are literally gnashing their teeth, Lord. We are witnessing the things that you warned us would happen in the last days. We see the great apostasy. We see the great falling away. We see that it's good versus evil, period. And that in the last days, good would be called evil, and evil would be called good. We know that all of these things are the warnings that you've given us, Father. We see the birth pangs drawing closer together and becoming more prominent. So as these last days approach us, Lord, we just plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over us and our families and all that you blessed us with, and just cry out for grace and mercy and compassion. It's in the name above all other names we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 It's interesting because, you know, one of the things that I've seen lately that's been really waking people up, and it's getting a lot of attention lately, is just the censorship that's going on. People are realizing that social media is censored, that the newspapers are censored, that the radio broadcasts are censored, that there's certain things that people don't want information out. One of the headlines this week was actually several stories that were run on it, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It says, Twitter goes all in for the vaccine deep state. And I've talked to several people here lately, and it was interesting because a lot of people, they've known that vaccinations are bad. They know that they're not good for you. They know that it's something that you don't want to do for your children. But when questioned, they were asked the question, okay, why are vaccinations so bad? Well, they couldn't answer the questions. And that actually led to them doing some research, and you know, they made up their mind. They said, well, next time somebody asks me that question, I want to have an answer for them. And so they went on the, you know, it's one of those rabbit trails that once you start jumping down one hole, you end up find yourself over here and over there. And, you know, that vaccination thing, it's been going on. There's so much information on there. We've got several new books that we're offering on the dangers of vaccinations and the links to autism, the links to childhood diseases, the links to this and that. I mean, there's just a wealth of information that is available out there right now. But one of the things that's been really interesting is these people, they get on that and they start chasing these stories down, and they start chasing the information down, and they want to know. And next thing you know is they're finding out that, hey, I found this information, I read this article, now I can't find it anymore. Twitter basically came out, and they came out, and the news articles that came out this week where Twitter goes all in for the vaccine deep state. And it starts off by saying, quote, telling the truth about vaccinations on Twitter, if you don't get immediately shadow banned or deplatformed for doing so, could land you or your account and all of your tweeted content in Jack Dorsey's digital misinformation bin, according to new records that report the far-left social media platform is reportedly launching a new Ministry of Propaganda feature that aims to stop Twitter users from sharing posts, videos, and other information that in any way may suggest that vaccines aren't 100% safe and effective all the time, like the government claims. And I mean, there's just the perfect example of what they're doing, and misinformation and censorship. And Go ahead. Well, it's just one of those things that you see that and you read stories like that, and it infuriates you and it makes you angry. But at the same time, people are really waking up, and they're like, okay, why don't they want us to know this? Who's behind this? And it's waking a lot of people up, but it's one of those things. There's been so much stuff that's been done in darkness, and we want it to be brought to light. You know, and it's prayers being answered. We just need to continue to, you know, find faith and stand and walk in that each and every day. But it's been encouraging to me, because I tell you what, when you get, you know, just like these people that I've talked to, get the information, know why the vaccinations, and if you don't know the information, if you can't memorize it, if you can't remember it, then know where to point them to so that they can get the information and then they can do the research on it. Because that's one of those things that opens a door that gives you a lot of other things to talk about when you're talking to somebody. And people are realizing from all different walks of life that vaccinations are dangerous, and it's something that you don't want to be doing to your children.
Amen.
Yeah, along those lines, though, you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, too. I can remember probably 20 years ago when I was first working in the union, electrical union, and, you know, I was kind of new to the ministry then, and pretty much believed the lie that everybody else believed until they know any better about vaccines, and I took a stand, you know, against it and said I wouldn't vaccinate my children and all that, and, man, I'll tell you what, this feminist electrician, she said, well, that's child abuse, you know, they ought to report you and jail you, you know, and this and that. And in today's day and age, you know, that's a possibility. So a better response, I mean, it's good to share the truth, but the best response is my children have all the vaccinations that they need.
That's right.
That's the proper response, so that you don't throw your pearls before the swine and so they render you a sender. But
and if they ask you, one of the things that they seldomly ask you is, are vaccinations up to date? Absolutely. You know, I mean, you got to be wise as that. But at the same time, when somebody asks you, you know, hey, when somebody's thinking about it, and you know, somebody saying, hey, you know, what vaccinations do you think that I should get for my child? You know, it's like, hey, you know, here, you got an obligation to educate them too, because, you know, if you don't warn them, you don't want that blood on your hands, you know, having the chance to warn somebody about something that could, you know, effectively give their children autism, and didn't warn them either.
Amen.
No, I agree. And they're passing, you know, they're working as hard as they can to pass legislation, not only in the states, but federally, to eliminate completely the religious or medical exemption, even in the private schools and the Christian schools. But, you know, all you really have to do is look to Colorado, and this has been real eye-opening, too, for quite a few of the people that I've talked to, but just recently, in the last month, we've had two major events happen in the state. One was an illegal alien truck driver coming down the mountain that lost control of his vehicle because he, number one, probably he couldn't read the signs that talked about the runaway truck ramps. Number two, he didn't understand mountain driving and how you have to stay in the lower gears, and that when you're riding your brakes the whole way, they're going to fade and eventually you're going to lose control of the vehicle. And number three, he didn't have the laws of God written on his heart, obviously, because instead of taking it off the edge and sacrificing himself, he decided to drive into 30 cars by God's grace and mercy, only kill four people. But if you saw the carnage of that thing, it was like an inferno. You know, I hate to think of how many people are still maimed and burnt beyond recognition. They may still be alive, but still. And then the other was the shooting in Highlands Ranch. You know, it doesn't fit the narrative. Number one, they use pistols. Well, wait a minute. We can't use that against AR-15 and assault rifles. Number two, it's a transgender that was one of the shooters, and her father was an illegal alien that was deported three times for major crimes.
And look how much national media coverage that's gotten.
Yeah, none.
Well, none. It's not even getting local media coverage. It's not getting any media coverage. But see, people are starting to see that, too. They're like, wait a minute. How come when there's some kind of shooting, you know, somewhere where it's an AR-15 and it's a white guy and whatever else, then, or religious reasons, then, you know, it gets weeks upon weeks of play. And then when the narrative doesn't fit what they hope it to fit, then all of a sudden the story's just gone. Even the Las Vegas thing, you don't hear anything about it anymore. Think how many people were killed in that. And basically the FBI says, no comment? Now, how's that possible? And nobody even cares. But that's the world we're living in.
Well, and that's the reason they have to shut down the comments, is because people are commenting. They're saying, okay, you got all these cameras, 128 cameras pointed at that hotel and at that, you know, that hallway and in that hotel room, and you don't see somebody carrying this in, and you don't see this, and you don't see that. I mean, that's the questions that they were being asked, so they had to stop it and say, okay, hey, no comment. You know, we're not answering any questions, because they didn't have any answers, because it was an inside job.
Right, but my point is, how many people have just forgotten about it? How many people literally have forgotten about the runaway truck or the shooting in Westminster just in the last 2 weeks? It's a spell. There's a spell in the land. And it's wag the dog that we're witnessing on a daily basis. And I think what's going on right now is set up for World War III, because bottom line is this deep state thing is being exposed. And it could go all the way up to the abomination. And before they allow that to happen, they will get us in another world war. In that war, it'll be a wag the dog, but it won't be just a movie. It's going to be another war, because that's the only thing that can stop the exposing of what's taken place over the last... I mean, they're bringing stuff up from 50 years ago. You got to remember, too, that President Trump was the first president to see all the sealed documents regarding JFK's assassination. I mean, there's all kinds of things. 9/11 is being exposed, whether they like it or not. And they cannot have those kind of things come out, because it's going to send us to a revolutionary war or civil war or whatever it is. But you know, I believe that they'll go to the extent of starting another war to keep the secrets hidden. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't expose them, and I believe he will, as long as, you know, we continue to be faithful and continue to pray.
And I think that if there's, you know, if there's a war too, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you don't go to war without the priest blowing the trumpet. And like you were saying, how many people are forgotten and people don't even remember? You know, there was a time when Israel of old, in the scriptures, I don't have the scripture in front of me, and I can't remember exactly where it's at, but it was, you know, there was a time where they didn't turn to God until every single family was affected by bloodshed, and that's when they remembered God. So, you know, we got to pray that it doesn't become that bad, you know, here now. Before people to turn back to God. And I believe that there's people that are doing just that, that there's a remnant of a remnant, and that's kind of what we've been pushing, and we've been, you know, we put out that tract, Isaiah's Job, and I'll tell you what, anybody out there that hasn't read that needs to get it, needs to read it, because that is for today. That was a prophecy that is for today. And encourage everybody to get that. But it's a remnant of a remnant that's going to cry out to God, pray, seek His face, turn from their wicked ways, and, you know, seek the blessings from our Heavenly Father.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning. If you'd like to call, 307-745-5913. And, yeah, don't know if you guys saw this. I think it ties in with that you're talking about, that the, you know, the remnant that cries out to God. Right here before, back in April, there were a couple of teenagers on spring break down off the Florida coast, decided to go swimming, thought they'd swim out to the little buoy that they saw. And before you know it, a current's got them, and here they are floating off out into the ocean. And you know, just a couple of, we call them, of course, we're not that way anymore. We call them stupid teenagers. But, you know, coming from Florida, you read about this all the time. People would go out swimming and get caught in an undertow. So they, but, you know, they attend Christ's Church Academy. And it says, at this point, the current pushed us so far. At that point, we knew we were in trouble. And so they came to that realization, and you know what they did? They called out to God. God, please. It says, God, please send something to save us. Didn't say send a boat. Didn't say send a helicopter. Send something to save us. And about 30 minutes later, a boat pulls up and rescues them. You want to know the name of the boat? Amen. Is the name
Amen.
Of the boat.
Yeah, I heard that.
And the boat... Yeah. It was moving from South Florida, on, you know, 300 miles away, up to New Jersey. They weren't even supposed to be out because the seas up ahead were too choppy, but they thought, well, we'll go out and just kind of go slow and wait for the seas to calm, and God put it in there. And so I just mentioned that because the remnant does still cry out to God. And like that article said, it said when they realized they were in trouble is when they did that. And that's certainly what we pray for the remnant today, to realize that, you know what, we're in trouble. The economy, the economy's doing great. You know, the jobless rate, we had this, 2 weeks ago, the reports came out. Jobless rate lowest since 1969. You know, low unemployment, higher wages, big consumer confidence. It was a report out this morning on even more consumer confidence. And jobs growing. The on the outside, the physical part, the economy, the work, it's getting better and better. There's more jobs. There's more construction. But how about underneath? How about the heart of the matter? And we see, like you started out with this, with Alabama signing this abortion ban into law, Governor Kay Ivey. Signing that in, and there is a battle. That battle continues to rage on, and I think, John, that as you've mentioned since President Trump got elected, I think we're seeing more of a reprieve. more of a reprieve. That God's making it a, I don't want to say easier, but it is. It's a little better on the people. But I think it's another opportunity that the people have to realize where those blessings come from, where those blessings of higher wages and more jobs and lower unemployment, where they come from, and that they see and realize that this battle, like this battle of abortion, that it is part of the spiritual battle, part of the wickedness in high places that Ephesians 6 talks about, that we're battling. And have to see it that way.
The lines are being drawn, you know, more and more each day. And choose ye this day who you shall serve. And God's no longer going to accept lukewarm. No more mugwumps. You can't have your mug on one side of the issue and your womp on the other side of the issue. You're going to have to choose. And all of those decisions, all of those, they all have consequences. And you know that's what it's coming down to. The bottom line, and you can see why their push for disarming the American people is going into overdrive. It's because they are no longer hiding the fact that they're communists and socialists and antichrists, and that they hate Christians and that they hate morality. And you know, just now we witnessed a couple of divine interventions, in my opinion, with bakers and florists and things like that, where they've targeted them to destroy them, and even the guy down in Denver, Jason, that you've met and talked to, he defeated them twice, and you know what, they can't have that. So now there's basically a push federally. I don't know if you saw that, but 8 Republicans joined the Democrats to pass an all-out assault on faith. Christians will be forced to violate their beliefs in an Equity Act passed against Christians. And I guess the House of Representatives already voted 236 to 1.
Yes. Yeah, they passed it.
To approve it. Now, I don't know if they can get it through the Senate, but I don't put it past them. And I don't think that Trump will sign it, but basically, it removes any religious exemptions regarding allowing the opposite sex to use locker rooms and bathrooms. It's called the Equality Act, and it keeps you from having the option to not hire transgenders or homosexuals or whatever it is, even in the Christian realm, in the private school realm. And you know, so they're passing these laws that are totally contradictory to God's laws and to the laws that are written on our hearts. And you know, that's the time that you have to decide, choose ye this day who you shall serve. You know, some of the school board that I serve with, the foundation board, they were sending out these emails a few weeks ago and saying, you know, how concerned they were and worried and this and that. And I said, I'm not worried. I said, all we have to do is say no, period. If enough people just say no, you can pass whatever law you want. God's law over man's law, period. But they don't even have that mentality anymore. They live in fear that, oh, well, what if they do this? What if they do that? You know, that's the one thing of many things, but one of the major things that I admired about Pastor Peters more than anything, he didn't care what anybody said or what anybody did or how it affected him or how it affected financially, physically, spiritually, you know, whatever it was. No matter what, he'd stand for the truth, period. And he would tell you the truth.
Amen.
And say, you have to stand on the truth no matter what. And there's nobody that I've ever met, read about, heard, or anything that was willing to take the stand that he took. And he, being a seer, could see the fact that when they tried to pass that Amendment 2, that it was the tip of the iceberg, and that if we did not take a stand against that, this is where we would be. And there was only one little church in a little town of LaPorte, Colorado, at the base of the Rocky Mountains, that took a stand and paid a great price to expose what the hidden agenda is. I'll tell you right now, even in, you know, even with the different leadership that we have in the presidency, this stuff's been put in place in the universities and stuff for years and years.
Long ago. Yeah.
Yes. And right now,
years ago,
it's way worse than you can imagine, because I'm in position of authority in management, and there's, you know, you heard the word social justice. Well, guess what? There's mandates now that social justice be taught through to the management, so that it can be taught down through the lower ranks. And social justice is nothing but wealth redistribution. That's exactly what it is. And I sat in a meeting, and they talked about having to take these classes on social justice. And I said, well, what is social justice? And they couldn't even answer the question, and they had to pull it up on their computer after looking it up. And when they looked it up, that's exactly what it is. It's wealth redistribution. And, you know, for years in the higher education, I've been involved with hiring, and the resumes that come in, there's those that are protected class, and those resumes are stamped with a red stamp that says protected class. Do not offer this position without HR's prior approval. Well, guess what? That was just the tip of the iceberg. And what's coming now is mandates to hire X amount of queers and X amount of degenerates and whatever it is. That's what's coming next. So if you don't think that there's an attack on the white Christian male more than we ever could have imagined, guess again, because it's happening. And it's being mandated through the public school system, through the education system, through local and state, and soon to be federal governments, if this law passes.
Amen.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I know it is happening. Yeah, it's been happening for a long time.
Yeah, you see it in the higher education, and we've reported on it. You see it in the with the kindergartners, with this drag queen story hour that is just all over. But things come out. The truth starts to come out that many of these degenerates are sexual perverts, and they have to be registered, or they're supposed to be, and all this mess. And so some of those truths are coming out. But it is an all-out war, you know, again, starting in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Colorado passed that sex education bill starting in third grade, that it's mandatory that this transgender and homosexuality shall be taught in the public school system as, you know, part of the curriculum. It is ridiculous. You know, John, when you were talking about that with the school and the laws being passed there in Acts, starting in 27, it's talking about when Peter and the apostles were brought before, they were thrown in prison for preaching Jesus. And verse 27 of Acts 5 says, when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, Peter and the apostles. And the high priest said, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you filled Jerusalem with your teachings. And verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And that was the defense they had, and that was the defense that fed the spreading of the gospel. And I think that's the defense that will continue to spread it. That's what protected our pastor, as you mentioned. We must obey God rather than men. And I think it ties right back also to what you mentioned, Jason, about the immunizations and the vaccines and the causes of autism. That, you know, it's one thing if we tell someone something. You know, like you said, Jason, somebody asks, hey, what vaccines would you do, or this or that? But if you can give them documentation, if you can give them a book, and like Jason said, we're carrying several new books on the dangers of vaccinations and the link between that and autism and childhood diseases. If you can give that to them, if they're looking, you know, the Bible says if you search, if you ask, you'll find. And so if you can give them that, then they can read it. They can see it. It's just like Pastor used to say when he would preach from the pulpit, when he would talk on the radio. He'd say, look it up. look it up in the scripture and see if this is not what it says. And it does. And when Peter said we must obey God rather than men, that doesn't conflict with Romans 13 where it says be in subjection to the authorities. Because the authorities have to be in subjection to God as well. God is the ultimate authority. And so we all are to obey God rather than men. And the problem comes up just like we have today when it's the men, the filth, the degenerates that are pushing and promoting this sin and lawlessness and serving their father, the devil, who is a liar from the beginning, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and you know who they are by their fruits, by what they produce, by what they say, what they do, what they promote. And we must obey God rather than them. That choice is coming. It is here.
We're going to have to memorize those verses, and because we will be brought before the magistrate at some point, and you know, those are the things that we have to understand. We also have to remember that Luke 10:19, that God's given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. And those are the things that are going to deliver us from these situations. It's a spiritual warfare, and if we don't understand spiritual warfare, we don't understand the promises that God's given us, if we don't understand the weapons of spiritual warfare that we've been given over the years, and if we have taken that lightly and we haven't just, you know, learned to not only use them but to master them against the enemy, then the enemy will prevail. So, I mean, it's a time more than ever that we need to take our spiritual walk seriously. We need to prepare to be able to battle in the spiritual realm. But I don't know if you remember back in 2012, I think I've brought this from the pulpit several times, but the Democratic Party voted to remove God from their platform. And I can't remember who the guy was, some Hollywood guy or something, but he actually called for a vote, you know, twice. And you could tell that the nays were less than the yays to remove God from the platform. But he, being somewhat, still having somewhat of a fear of God, could see the devastation that that would cause by publicly, you know, proclaiming that they wanted to remove God from the platform. And he ended up saying that, well, okay, well, the nays have it. We're not going to remove God from the platform. And then you could see the booing and the gnashing of teeth and all of that. But the fact that we lost the House in the last election, I was reading an article here that Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, raised a point of parliamentary inquiry as to why witnesses, people who are being sworn in now as House of Representatives after the last election, do not say, "So help me God," during their swearing-in process. Representative Johnson asked Congressman Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee, to please have the witness do it again, including the "So help me God." Cohen said, "I don't think it's necessary, and I don't want to assert my will over other people." That was a quote. Then Gerald Nadler, Democrat from New York, pipes up with, "If any witness, quote, if any witness objects, he should not be asked to identify himself. We do not have religious tests for office or for anything else, and we should not, and we should let it go at that." So, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard any stories where they're swearing in people into the service of the House of Representatives for the people, where they've all of a sudden removed "So help me God." But according to this story, and I believe it to be true, that's exactly what they've done. So, you know, think about that. That's significant. Back in the day, you couldn't hold a position of office in government unless you were a God-fearing Christian. And you could not hold a position in office if you were a Catholic. So.
Yeah, and I've seen the videos where they stopped him right in the middle of swearing in, and the guy's like, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, isn't there supposed to be a help me God?" And they're like, oh, no, that was removed. And he's like, hey, well, wait a minute. What? You know, that's not right. And they said, well, you can add it if you want to, but it's not required anymore. And then there was other people there that were actually got offended when he said it. But, yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was an eye-opener to see.
It is. It is. And, you know, I think, again, let's go to the Word, Matthew 12. Start reading in verse 33 down to 37. Verse 37 of Matthew 12. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And, Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. But his word judges. And the word judges right there. By your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. And even verse 36, he says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. And, these people, they revile the word. They don't care. They spit at it. And that may work for them now. But there's going to be hell to pay at the end of it. There really is. And they know that they're damned to hell and that there is no redemption in them, that they are creatures of instinct, as the Word says, created to be destroyed, and they want to take as many with them as they can. Again, they do. It's by their fruits. Read that. Read Matthew 12, Remnant, starting in verse 33, just 33 to 37. The tree is known by its fruit. And he said, and it's Jesus speaking. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? And I think that's just what those brood of vipers are. They put themselves in the seat of authority, in the seat of Moses, you might say, in authority and in ruling and leading and judging over the people. And they are evil. They can't speak good. And the people are waking up to it. Well, again, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open. 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in. John, you had a comment. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Yeah, I was just kind of lost my train of thought there, too. But I guess the biggest thing we can see is the fact that the lines are being drawn, and, you know, you're going to have to choose ye this day who shall serve. If the Lord be God, then serve Him, and if Baal be God, then serve Him. And God's no longer going to tolerate the churches of Laodicea or the people of Laodicea.
Yeah. Don't know if you saw the video.
That was interesting is, too, that, you know, we talk about people waking up. This miracle, I don't know if anybody's seen this movie, Unplanned. I just heard about it from a kid that went and seen it, and I don't know. He was pretty impressed with it. I didn't even know that. It's hard when you don't have TV. You don't really know anything about any of these new movies that are coming out. But I guess it's about a abortion. And I was reading about it this week, and they've had a lot of people that have actually went to the movie, and it's people that have worked for the Planned Parenthood, and it's they've quit their jobs after watching it. They said that it's had a huge, tremendous impact on the Planned Parenthood staff, and it was interesting because they said that in some of the interviews they said that the people that worked at Planned Parenthood were told by their supervisors not to go see this movie, that they weren't allowed to.
They
go
were
see
forbid.
It. Yeah,
they were forbidden.
They
to
were
go
forbidden.
See the movie.
And they said that it was, you know, they said it's kind of like, well, when you're forbidden to go see a movie, it's kind of like putting a big red button in front of you that says do not press. Kind of had the opposite effect. It's like you tell somebody, okay, hey, you know, you can't go see this. It's like, okay, what's wrong with it? Why can't I go see it? And it had that reverse effect and caused people to go see the movie. And they said that there was groups, there was people that went, that worked at Planned Parenthood that went by themselves, that didn't want to be seen going to it. There was other people that went as groups. And they said that, you know, after seeing the movie, one of the things that was pretty common response based on what I've seen from people, what people were saying after they'd seen the movie, as far as from people that worked at Planned Parenthood, and they said that it was what they realized was, hey, this isn't normal. This isn't, you know, we're used to seeing this stuff and dealing with this every day, but, you know, this really affects people a lot different than what we've been told, and we've been lied to about a lot of things. And I don't know how many, I couldn't really find a number, because I'm sure that they don't want those numbers out, but there was just a tremendous number of people that went and seen that movie and went in. The next time they went to work at Planned Parenthood, they dropped off their resignation and they quit their job. There was a lot of them that didn't even go back. So it was...
Well, it's significantly impacting their businesses, too, which is huge. Yeah. The movie's about a lady who was in charge of Planned Parenthood in one of the most major areas of success for Planned Parenthood. And one time they were shorthanded, and she was asked to come into the clinic to work. And she saw things that she never saw before, and it just convicted her, because she was like the number one spokesperson for Planned Parenthood and always defended it and this and that. But until she actually experienced it, and then she changed and she turned against it, and she made her life about exposing what was going on in those clinics. And apparently if you go to that movie and you don't come out of there, you know, with tears in your eyes, then you better pray that God softens your heart, because the world's got it so encrusted that you can't feel sympathy and anguish and, you know, for those children that are being killed, murdered.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well, and it sounds like it's so. I guess it's in movie theaters still all across the country, right?
Yes.
Yeah, as far as I know, it is. Yeah. So yeah, there's some huge strides being made against the abortion, which is encouraging and significant, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that is encouraging. Yeah, it's encouraging to see, and it's encouraging to see that it's having an effect upon their business, too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anybody saw that coming. You know, like you said, though, the fact that they forbid them from going just enticed them to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And when they, you know, the fact that they're losing so many employees.
A lot of people that in their comments, that they said, you know, if they had told me I should go see this, I probably wouldn't have. But they said when they said you can't go see this, they're like, okay, what's in here that they don't want us to see?
Right.
Reverse psychology, yeah.
And God's hands in it, I'm sure, you know.
Absolutely, I agree.
Oh, it is. It is.
Well, they can't even hide the fact anymore that not only is abortion their religion, but it's, you know, how Pastor Peters has said for years, they get their power, the Antichrist, through pain and suffering and death and murder. And we as Christians get our power from our God through praise and prayer and fasting. And they know that if they're cut off from their source of power through innocent, I mean, the innocent blood sacrifice, I think, is so much more powerful than even their blood sacrifices in the wars, you know. In today's day and age, how many of those people who are dying in the war are innocent and, you know, have lived righteous lives? Probably not a large percentage anymore, but you got to think that the reason Satan attacks children is because of the innocence and the power that's in the sacrifice of that innocent blood. And, you know, they know that once that's found out, once that's cut off, then they're cut off. Just like our pastor used to teach us all the time, pray that they're cut off from their
father of the devil, from the power of their father of the devil. And they understand that. And, you know, you can just see the gnashing, literally, the gnashing of teeth. I mean, I don't know if you saw when she signed that law, but there was people in Hollywood that were just, they were literally losing it. They were so upset. And, you know, they're not even hiding it anymore. They used to hide it. And the fact that the satanic church and, you know, all of these satanic groups, they totally, you know, they don't even hide the fact anymore that they support Planned Parenthood. And it's all satanic. It's good versus evil. And in the last days, evil will be called good and good will be called evil. And that's what we're witnessing.
Yeah, you got that right. It's exciting times, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Lord willing, tomorrow I hope to bring the message I was going to bring last week on the satanic bloodline of Cain, because that's where this comes from. These are the descendants of Cain that are perpetrating these things upon God's people. And they can't help it, because that's their genealogy, that's their bloodline. So, but the good news is we keep praying, and those things that were done in the dark are continuing to be brought to the light. You know, stuff from 50 years ago is being brought to the light. So,
amen.
Exciting times we're living in. That's for sure.
It is. It is. And folks, it's, you know, King David had this to deal with in his lifetime. He wrote about it in today's Bible reading plan. I like how these little nuggets pop up every now and then. Psalms 109. If you remember, there was a big, you know, to pray for Obama when he was president, but to pray Psalms 109. And certainly don't have time to read it this morning, but I encourage you, Remnant, to, if you haven't already, to read Psalms 109 this morning. Pray Psalms 109 this morning. You know, just verse 4 of it says, "In return for my love, they act as my accusers, but I am in prayer." And that's really the gist of the whole Psalms, is prayer. It's that, you know, the world comes against me, and David wrote about it. It certainly applies to Jesus Christ and his life. You know, it says, "They've surrounded me with words of hatred." And there is a comfort that comes when we see the persecutions, when we see the enemy coming against us, but we need to be reminded, "But I am in prayer," is what David wrote. And that, you know, that's what Jesus was. They came against him, and there were times that he would go out in the wilderness and pray all night. We have to remember that in this war against the spiritual forces of darkness, that Ephesians 6 tells us about, that we have to go back. We cannot do it by our strength. We cannot do it by our hand, by what we, we've done this, I've done. No, that is not how it works. So I encourage you, read Psalms 109. It really is. And it is an imprecatory psalm. We carry a small book that talks about that, praying the imprecatory Psalms of David. It is a great book if you're not familiar with praying. "Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him." That's a prayer. That's a prayer from David, who was a type of Christ. "Let his posterity be cut off." And so, you know, let his children be fatherless. Let his wife be a widow. This is in the Bible, folks. And if you're not familiar with it, you need to be. You need to be, because it is. It is how we are to be. It is when we can pray this with the right heart, with the right intentions, that it is God's will. And we are blessed because of it. We truly are. So, I think it's like you guys mentioned about the people coming out of Planned Parenthood. I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know. And that's how so many of our people are. And that's why we continue on here, is because they don't know, and we are trying to get this Word of God to them, to where they will know, where they will see, and to where repentance can come, and returning to God, and that saving grace can be applied. Well, guys, we are all but out of time. I do want to invite everybody to church tomorrow. Come. You heard John. He's got a great message. I'm looking forward to it. I've seen a couple of the graphics and have them ready, and I think it's going to be one that keeps you on the edge of your seat, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll start at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and you can join us at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream. Join us there. There'll be a timeless pulpit truth that I can I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but I can tell you it's just going to be prophecy. It will be prophecy on what we are living today. It really will. Well, men, thanks so much. Thank you, Remnant, for joining us. And remember that this ministry continues on because of your support. It is a saint. We used to have that ad. It is a saint-sponsored ministry, saint-sponsored network, and we certainly don't beg for funds. But if you like what we're doing here, if you want to continue to be a part of it, we do need your support. Our address, if you want to write, if you want to send support, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And again, you can send us an email to preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out,
ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Snake high.
Snake high.
Snake high.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Though in the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.